Monday.
Good morning to all those who have tuned in to the Because He Lives program, sponsored by Federal Motor Spirits at the Bank Hall Main Road and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. I am Margaret Eversley, pastor of the Thought Scottish Church of the Nazarene. I guess it's not too late to wish you a blessed 2025. I want to remind all Nazarenes and friends that today is family service at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center beginning at 9:30 a.m. We will also be participating in the Holy Communion. Come on out, all, and enjoy this day with us. This morning, I would like to speak on the topic, God's call to evaluate our priorities. The scripture base is Haggai chapter 1, but I will read the first 7 verses, and also we have Matthew 6:33, which you know so well. In the second year, King Darius, on the first day of the 6th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. What a scripture. Father, this morning, sovereign God of all creation, humbly I invite your presence with me today. Touch the minds, the hearts, the ears of all who will listen to this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The message of the book of Haggai tells us to put things first in our lives. It was written to people like us who would have been told in the first commandment that God must be first. But from time to time, as we also do, they drifted into a way of life that distracted them from their priorities. The setting of this book is found in the early chapters of Ezra. A remnant of 50,000 Jews had returned from Babylon to Judah. They quickly rebuilt the altar and began offering sacrifices. 2 years after returning, they had laid the foundation to rebuild the temple. They started out on the right path, but allowed the opposition from their Samaritan neighbors to hinder. Work was halted for 14 years. The people started farming, building houses, raising families, and looking out for themselves. We tend to put ourselves first. Have you ever thought of it? If God had put himself first, where we would have been? From the time of Israel in the wilderness, God established a place of worship for them in the form of the tabernacle. Later, the temple was built by Solomon. That temple was destroyed because of their disobedience when the Babylonians captured Judah, where they remained for 70 years. They got used to life without a temple, even their leaders. But God raised Haggai and Zechariah to proclaim his message to this returned remnant. The book of Haggai consists of 4 messages from the Lord. The first is in the first chapter, 1 to 15. I will focus on the first message from God to the people. It came in the form of a question. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house, my house, lay waste? Consider your ways. In other words, evaluate your actions. God drew their attention to their condition. Look, he says in verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You wear clothes, but you are not warm. Your wages go into a bag with holes. You look for much and receive little. Because you brought it home, I blew on it. The dew from heaven was withdrawn, the fruit withheld. God called for a drought upon the land and the mountains. The corn, the new wine, and everything the ground brought forth was affected. Obviously, the living creatures were also affected. God gave the reason. He said, my house is laid waste. Not that God did not want them to have their own houses, but God was saying, give me priority, put my house first, and I will take care of your needs. But what is meant by God's house though? In the text, it refers to the temple in Jerusalem, which was a center for worshiping God. Although God is everywhere, the temple is the place on earth where God dwelled in a special sense. He revealed his glory there. The sacrifices offered there pointed ahead to the coming of God's Messiah, Jesus, who would offer himself as God's final and complete sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, to allow the temple to lay in ruins was to neglect the worship of Almighty God. In the New Testament, God's temple is not a physical building, but rather his people, both individually and corporately. Check Corinthians 3 and Corinthians 6. Human hearts. And together we are being built into the temple, a house of God, according to Ephesians 2:21 and 1 Peter 2:5. To make God's house the priority in life means that your number one goal is to make your body a fit dwelling for the Holy Spirit and to devote yourself to building up others in Christ so that their lives become the dwelling place for God. It means that your main goal is to know Christ in your heart by faith and to do all that you can to help others do the same. That is called discipleship, which we shall be focusing on this year. God caused the circumstances the people in Judah experienced. They did not consider that God was trying to tell them something. How often is God trying to speak to us through our circumstances, but we do not listen? Jesus continued the same theme in his first sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6:25-34, he tried to redirect the focus of his listeners from seeking to satisfy the physical appetites of eating and drinking and clothing of their bodies. Their Creator, who gave them life, understood that life was more than meat and the body more than raiment. The same God who took care of the birds of the air, the lilies, and the grass of the field can take care of his creation. Later, Jesus told the folks in John 6:27, labor not for the food that perish, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God sealed. Jesus attributed the tendency of man to worry about the physical and material things of life to weak faith. That was also the problem with the children of Israel who were tasked with rebuilding the temple. They did not trust God to take care of their enemies, so they abandoned the project for 14 long years. They put their personal priorities first and used the excuse that it was not time to rebuild the temple or rebuild the Lord's house yet. Who told them that? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus clearly states, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Jesus introduced us to the kingdom of God, or heaven, as it was sometimes referred to. In the Bible, the kingdom of God is the spiritual realm where God reigns as king. God does not demand the first place in our lives. We have the same choice Adam and Eve had, but he deserves it. He sent his son to suffer for our sins. Hear how Paul in Romans 8:32 expresses God's deserving of first place. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not some things, all things, people. Amen. So what case will we make today? If God put us first, shouldn't we have the same desire to put him first? Failure to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness causes us to miss a very significant aspect of our lives. Weak faith cannot be strengthened unless we make that important decision to put God and his righteousness first. Placing God in his rightful position is not easy. Faith and trust must be exercised. People who slip into putting their prosperity above God's kingdom will eventually lose their spiritual perspective. They are working for the food that perishes, but not for the food that endures the eternal life. The word of God in Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there are many false concepts of what it means to put God first. Everybody have their own opinion. But I want to say today, putting God first is more than being religious. It is more than doing good. We have a lot of people who do a lot of good who don't even believe in God. It is more than coming to church, participating in all the activities, etc. And it does not stop at being saved. You may be surprised to hear me say that. No, it is a daily exercise. Giving priority to God is not only about position, but also about relationship. Relationship is a condition of being connected. Jesus told us that we must keep connected to the vine. When you let God be first, he becomes your focus and he leads you through the territory of the devil. He points out the snares, the traps that are laid to entangle us, and he leads us around them. That is protection, part of the all things parcel that Jesus promised us if we put him first. Although God is the creator of all that is, and all power in heaven and earth is in his hands, he will never forcefully acquire the position of being first, even though he requires it. His requirement is to be first, but he will not force his way in the position of being first upon us. Therefore, the ability, responsibility, and capability of God being first lay within each one of us. Yes, according to Isaiah 42:16, he may take you on new experiences down unfamiliar paths, but he says, trust me, I have a plan for you. We try to grab God by the hand instead of God grabbing ours, and we tell God, let's go here, let's do this, trying to take God someplace. He is not going to go. God must be the one to start the move. Moses knew this, and he told God, if you do not go with us, I am not going. Sounds presumptuous. Jesus said to his disciples, we must follow him, put him in first position. The disciples did not always put him first. Even though he was with them, Judas was more concerned about money. Peter was more concerned about preserving himself, so he denied Christ. Two of them were concerned with their position. One wanted to be at Jesus' side. The only disciple that followed Jesus to the cross was John. The others went hiding because they did not want to suffer with him. They didn't want to be arrested. But I say to you today, the good news is that after Pentecost, they understood what it meant to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And the book of Acts details how they exemplified putting God first. We need to get into the book of Acts and take some action like those disciples. What does putting God first look like? The first step is obedience. We all try to make up excuses for why we are not obedient to put God first with our time, our talent, our money, and the skills he entrusts to us. The people in Haggai obeyed. They followed the plan God gave them. As Jesus promised, when we put God in his kingdom first, he will give us all the material things we need, but we must fight the temptation to keep our priorities in the right order. It is natural to put material things above spiritual needs because we argue that we must feed our families, provide clothing, shelter, and complete the hierarchy of needs. While the arguments are valid, that is the rope Satan uses to pull us to the world. If we want to go God's way, we must dress in our armor and fight, knowing that God is on our side. He's pushing back the darkness, for he's the God of the armies of heaven, hallelujah, and earth. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is fighting for us. He's saying, come on, my child, everything is going to be all right. All you have to do is let God be first. Yes, according to Isaiah 42:16, he said he will take the blind down on familiar paths. But he said, I will make the darkness light before them and make crooked things straight. I will do those things and not forsake them. He asked them to just trust me. The blind are those people whose focus is on God and not on the temporary things of life. They do not know where they are going, but they know who is leading. We do not have to worry or fret. All we have to do is let God be first. We try to grab God by the hand instead of God grabbing ours. And we tell God, let's go here, let's go there. But I said before, God is not going to go. God must be the one to start the move. To put God's kingdom above material prosperity requires constant self-evaluation. Here are some practical things to do. Twice the Lord tells the people, consider your ways. That means to stop, check your busy schedule, and evaluate your life in the light of God's word. Check how we are spending our time. We may have to change up our schedule. In this day, much time is consumed on the various devices. It cuts into our time with God. Check on how our money is spent. Is God included? God says that we are to give him the first fruits. We're supposed to give him 1/10 of our salaries, our earnings. In other words, we are to give him the best because he deserves the best. We are managers of all that God has given to us to invest it profitably for his kingdom. How are we preparing for our final destination? Our final destination is either heaven or hell. Jesus informed us that narrow is the road that leads to life eternal, but broad is the way to destruction. That is why we need to put the kingdom of God first, because Jesus keeps driving on the correct road, on the highway. What do you think about the most? What occupies your thought life? Do you think about the Lord and how he wants you to spend your life? Seeking the kingdom of God is a serious life consideration. It includes your friends. Friends can distract you from allowing God to have first place. It includes your daily decision making. Do you make decisions and then ask God to rubber stamp them? You're wasting your time. Is God reflected in your hobbies? Is he glorified by the way you spend that time? What do you read? What do you listen to? What do you watch on the various devices, the sports in which you are involved? What is the result when we reverently obey God by putting his house and his kingdom above our material prosperity? Remember, his kingdom includes his house, the place where he meets for corporate worship. And he delights to fill the place of praise and worship with his presence. When God's kingdom is placed above our priority, he is pleased and glorified. His work gets done and he truly blesses us. In Haggai 1:8, he told the people, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified. God is looking for pleasure and glory from us, his people. When we fail to put his house and his kingdom first, we are indifferent to his glory. God created the world. He created and called it a people for himself, for his glory, according to Isaiah 43:7. And our aim should be God's glory. When we put God's house and his kingdom first, his work gets done. In Haggai 1:14, the Lord stirred up the hearts of the leaders and the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Yes, we are responsible to get our priorities in order. When it is done, it is because God has moved in our hearts. That's why we have to preach messages like these, so that they will move on the hearts of people, because many of us fail to put God in the right perspective. The chief responsibility of every Christian is to extend the kingdom of God. We can only extend it when we put him first. When the people obeyed, God sent his word saying, I am with you. That's in chapter 1, verse 13 of Haggai. If we have God with us, we have everything, people. If we have God with us, we have everything. Amen. Hallelujah. If God is with us and God is for us, who can be against us? We hear Paul declaring, if anyone in the hearing of my voice have never put God first in your life by yielding yourself to his call to repent of your sins, today is a good day. What would hinder you? This is a good year to begin. Don't let anybody hinder you. Don't let any friends hinder you. Don't let spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, nobody hinder you. Make that decision to put God first in your life today. It may look difficult, but God will walk with you, and God will talk with you, and God will hold your hand each step. You will be surprised about the transformation in your life. And I can guarantee you today that God keeps his promises. He promised that if we put him first in our lives, that all the things that he knows that we deserve, he has a plan for us. All the things that are in that plan, God will ensure that we get it. We will not close our eyes in death. I am guaranteeing that today. You will not close your eyes in death until God Almighty provide the things that he knows you need, as long as you put him first in your life. This to them saying, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. We just got to believe
And that's our problem. Many times we do not believe God's word. We preach it with passion and we preach it, but we don't believe it. We don't put it in practice so that people can see it and have a testimony. No, today I'm saying to us that what God says, he will do. What God promised, he will keep. He is the promise keeper. There's no promise keeper like God. None. But all of his promises have conditions attached to them. So if we don't meet the condition, we miss the promise. And we're not going to get anywhere until we meet those conditions. Today, people, God deserves first place in our lives. The devil makes us feel that he can do so much for us. But the devil does not have anything. The devil is a thief. Remember, he's a thief. He steals things and come and tell us that he can give us this. He can't give us anything. God is the truth. And God is the only one that can supply your needs. He's the only one that is there. He's a rock on which we can stand. The devil is sand. If we stand on the sand, we are going to drown all the material things that we gather around us. All it's going to go. Yes, Christians lose material things at times. But I am saying that even though we may lose material things, that God is a restorer of things. God can restore. I had a friend from California who lost 3 of his houses in the California fire. But do you know something? He said, Margaret, no worries, no worries. He said, the same God that helped us to build will help us to build back in Jesus' name. And I'm saying that's the promise we have, that even though God may send us through some hot fire and some hard times and some trials and things like that, he will come through and restore even more than we lose. So today, I'm saying, God will keep his promise to add all things to your life. Just trust him today. Father in heaven, today thank you for your word. May change take place in lives and commitments be made to trust you enough to make you the number one priority of their lives in Jesus' name. When your children reevaluate their lives and put you first, you will stir up the fires of revival as you did with the people in Haggai. Lord, we need a stirring up of the fire among your people. So many have become complacent. So many have not come back to church since COVID. And there's also a lack of demonstration of the power of God among so many of us. Lord, hear our cries today. Hear our prayers and stir our hearts in Jesus' name. I invite you to listen to this song, First by Lauren Daigle. God bless you.
Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart and seek you. Let nothing else.